Hello, Justin and Wayne. Welcome to Upcoming Dis. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Watch Kill or Be Killed and enjoyed it very much. It was very reminiscent to me of a lot of the old spaghetti westerns I used to watch here, Leone's stuff, and I assume that was part and parcel what you guys were trying to get across.
Yeah. We're big fans of the old spaghetti westerns, you know, and we always enjoyed what they could pull off, you know, and a lot of it,
right.
The gunshots, the reactions they show, and how they did it. But it was a cool style, and we wanted to definitely an influence in our Western. Yeah, we like the way that they combined the quirky character with the stylistic camera moves, and then you had like streaks of toughness in there too, especially in some of Leone stuff and Kabuchi stuff. So, yeah, I mean, those were in the back of our mind, and also Charles B. Pierce, who made Legend of Boggy Creek and Town of Seven Sundance, he made in the 70s about 5 or 6 independent westerns that are very underground that not a lot of people know about, and those are worth digging up because the horror side kind of breaks through, and he's making independent westerns before couldn't match anyone, so we pulled from those too. They wanted to make this western different, but they wanted to make a horror western. And you know, just a little note: we did our western before Bone Tomahawk. It's just on an independent budget versus, I guess, a little larger. They got those out before, but right. You know, definitely fan of Bone Tomahawk as well. But it's sort of, I guess, that's the way we're riding right now.
Well, yeah, and a shout-out, I was going to say, is to the person who did your score, because that score had, you know, Enrico Morricone all over it, and I think that really helped to solidify the atmosphere you were trying to get through.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank you. John Costa, you know. Yeah. He, you know, this film, I'll say, you know, it's been a strange journey, of course. You know, all films, independent films, usually are kind of, a series of obstacles, but this one has had a uncanny ability of having talent just fall into his lap. And John's a good example because we had just finished shooting. We had no idea who was going to do the score.
Right.
Literally like a month after we finished shooting. And I just got this random email from John saying, hey, I've always wanted to score a Western. You know, we get a lot of those kind of emails. I'm not going to say I ignored it, but, you know, a lot of times you don't have a whole lot of hope. But he sent this link and I clicked on it. And it was just like, we never looked at anyone else. I mean, how often would that happen? You know, just...
Not very.
It was so serendipitous. Yeah. I think he was, you know, John will tell you, he also grew up as a child just watching a lot of the spaghetti westerns. And his father was also a composer.
Okay.
So I think he brought that love of the westerns, you know, to this composition. But when he was writing that, we always thought, you know, it's almost like a James Bond meets Sergio Leone, you know, sort of piece. You know, it's very unusual, very original, but very Western and spaghetti-like in tone. You know, so I mean, yeah, we couldn't have asked for anything more with John Costa.
Well, you could tell me if I'm off base here, but one of the unique aspects of it when I was watching it is I found that the film was very much like a series of vignettes, that you didn't just keep the same theme and same, atmosphere going the whole time. You would change that. These gang guys would be in a different place, and a different type of thing would be going on, sometimes a horror, sometimes a straight Western, and that's what it seems like you guys were doing. Was that intentional?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the reason why we love those spaghetti Westerns, because, you know, we may have taken it a step further, but basically you're just developing a bunch of tones just like they did.
Right.
Where you laugh in places you didn't think you would, or you cringe, and then all of a sudden you're laughing again. You know, it was a rocky road a lot of times. And so, yeah, it was definitely very intentional to pull on all of those strings and make it interesting and make it, stand out in a way that maybe it wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah. And the locations.
There's a string of suspense western through the entire movie.
Right.
In that tone of how you're dealing with some very heavy, dark things.
Right.
You know, that you find yourself laughing at times.
Certainly.
You know, And I think that's a uniqueness that it brings.
Well, the other thing I had to comment on, your locations are sometimes absolutely incredible. There's some vistas there that,
right,
you know, remind me of the old John Ford
that,
movies.
We do a lot of pre-production, Dwayne and myself, especially with this Western, you know, it was written to be a travel piece. It was from West Texas all the way to the beaches of Corpus Christi or
right,
Galveston. So, you know, we knew that we had to find the right locations, and we just scoured the countryside looking for, you know, the locations that would show you that change, you know,
sure,
not only in landscape, but also in people and in the towns and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always something that Dwayne and I spend a lot of time with, is the pre-production. This one in particular, because of it being independent nature,
right,
finding some of these sets, you know, with things already there, with the set already dressed,
right,
and everything from the period already there, was worth the time, was worth the look, was worth the pre-production.
Mm-hmm.
It took us a lot of money, and it was authentic.
And those locations, they really add bang to your budget buck, don't they? They add the authenticity, and they must add help for the actors to really just get into the moment.
Oh, yeah. What's
that?
I love that question. For an actor to just to go into those almost museum-like
right,
situations, you've got to help the performance, I guess. Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, especially with the game, with the Barbie game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you talk to those actors, it's like, they talk like it was their glory days, like high school football, you know?
Yeah.
And I think what it was just everything was so authentic. We were on the road. We were living the same that the Outlaws were living, you know? And
right,
at these places, and it was so authentic. It was just, it was so fun to get into these characters with these Outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, one of our characters to play Tom Nixon, quit his job for this, you know,
wow,
he had a high-paying job.
Wow.
I mean, it was just a dream of his, you know, to be in a Western.
Sure.
And I think that's what all of the main actors brought to this. They knew how special it was to be in a Western, and,
uh-huh,
you know, they had the trust and the faith in us as directors and writers to, you know, hopefully get it to where it's at right now, you know.
Yeah.
And, by the way, I mean, we've been waiting. We've got to finish film for a year. Over a year. Yeah.
Wow.
We've been sitting on this thing, waiting for this Western wave to hit. So, you know, when these movies come out, it makes people, you get the illusion that they just, like, they're cranked out.
Right.
Because, oh, look, all of a sudden there's a bunch of Westerns. But you don't realize that they're finding these Westerns that have been sitting around for,
sure,
a while. Right? And we're just waiting for the opportunity, the window, like the space shuttle.
This question is particularly for Justin. I mean, as one of the writers and directors of this film, and then also a character in the film, when you wrote this, did you write this with you always in mind to play Sweet Tooth, or was that something that evolved as you went along?
Well, you know, it was a long process. When we first wrote this film, we were at Tribeca, or the Tribeca Film Festival,
yeah,
let me step back.
Okay.
When we were at Tribeca with Wild Man of the Navidad, we had a meeting with the White Steve, and we pitched a Western idea that was in our mind.
Right.
We had always, you know, been talking about Western. We had kind of outlined a Western, but we hadn't written it out yet.
Right.
So their interest was burnt. So that motivated Dwayne and I to really get involved in a Western.
Yeah.
And we just spent the next 6 months, you know, meeting up with each other and going over and over until we came up with a script.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until, you know, 5 years later, after we directed Butcher Boys, that we actually, you know, put everything into motion and said, hey, let's do it. Let's go for this Western. And, you know, when we did that, you know, we knew that there's no turning back. But I think the writing being as long as it was, and then the pre-production as long as it was, and then actually doing the movie,
right,
it was easier to direct, write, and whatever.
Yeah. So what was? Yeah,
I think that the
it was fine.
Yeah.
I mean, he was always the person that was going to play that role. To answer your question.
Okay. Yeah. That's.
I don't think that. I think if Johnny Depp had come on and said, "Hey, I really want to play Steve Harvey," would have been sure. Okay. But
of course.
Short of that, Justin was always going to play it. Yeah. When Independent, I knew what we were going to have to put plot Harvey through, and I don't know if any actor would have done it for as cheap as we would have paid.
Sure.
You know, sure. We had to do some of our stunts.
Right.
We had to do a lot of our stuff, and it was hard. So if we were going to be strung out in one position, might as well be strung out in all positions and pressures. But Blaine and I worked the best. So.
Yeah.
But it tends to be sort of a a love hate thing.
Mm-hmm.
A bit to myself, but at the same time, it really works. And I don't know. Johnny Depp wanted to play it, sure, we'd deal to it. But by the time we did that Western, I was ready to play Claude. You know, I was ready to step into that character,
Yeah, that was just what I was trying to ask, is what is the distribution, our final question here, what is the distribution of work when you guys work together, when you have a partnership like that? Do you, evenly divide things up, or you just everybody pitches in where they can?
That's something that's pretty much been the same since we started making films about, 16 years ago. Or 17, I don't even know. It was late 90s, right?
Yeah.
So, we have different personalities, and that helps in some ways, because, I'm able to defer to him, and he's able to defer to me without us butting heads so much.
Right.
And I think, having that friendship and that long background together has really helped us be able to pull something off, because, co-directing is definitely not for everyone. It's not easy. Our friends.
Right.
So I think really what it comes down to is familiarity and getting better with it each time as far as communicating. And you actually kind of start using shorthand and visual cues and verbal hand cues,
sure,
non-verbal hand cues, things like that. So you really start to move things along faster. Even though you can have two people, two cooks in the kitchen. So, we sped the process up a little bit and made it more efficient, I think, over the time that we've been doing it. But it isn't for everyone. So,
sure.
The process, I guess, would be described differently by different co-directors. But I think friendship is part of it. We met at film school. We were taking film classes together and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of always knew that I had that ability, sort of act.
Sure.
But I definitely, was so interested in the process of making the film. It just sort of, I guess I just sort of discounted acting in a way at first. And
right.
Then I realized, that I did have a talent towards acting, and that I was able to develop characters and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that hard for me to, to direct with Dwayne and also step into that character, especially when we had spent so much time with, if it was someone else's script or something, it would be no problem for me to also play that character, as well. But I don't know. I think that was beneficial for this script in particular.
It sounds like you guys have a system that works. The film's going to come out March 1st from RLJ, and we're hoping that people go out and pick it up. And I appreciate you guys taking time out of that busy schedule to come and talk to us about it.
Oh, I'm March 8th. We appreciate it. March 8th on Redbox.
That's right.
March 8th on Redbox.
So we're looking forward to it, and some of us have gotten to see it, so that's cool. So listen, thank you guys, and good luck with your next picture.
All right, thank you.
You take care.